introduced to the acting CEO of Isimangaliso. It's a familiar face that we've seen each other before. So you're welcome. I don't know if there are other new appointments in the department and in the entities. But those are the appointments that I've been informed of. There's an apology here from the Director General of the department. Who is attending COP13 UNCCD in China. There's also an apology from the Deputy Minister, who's also attending the same conference. And there's an apology here from the chairperson of SOS, who is not able to be here due to ill health. She's not feeling well. So those are the apologies that we've received. Oh, okay. Yes, Honorable Nyambi and Honorable Mabika attending to oversight because serving in other committees. So those are the apologies that we have received. I don't think there are any further apologies. Can I get an indication if there are other apologies? Okay, Honourable Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I would like to request to be released a little early, long before lunch, to attend to a very urgent matter that's outstanding today that I have to deal with in cabinet preparations.
Okay. All right, I think that's in order. It's accepted. I see the hand from the CEO of SANParks.
Honorable Chairperson, I'm Beryl Ferguson, and I'm just representing SANParks, our Chairperson, Joanne Yaw, which is unable to be here today. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Normally when there is an apology, there is a reason. So I didn't hear the reason.
Honorable Chair, she's actually out of the country.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you very much. Okay, let's continue with our program. I think the first item that we have been scheduling and rescheduling is the explanation by the minister on the press release by the department that we thought we needed to get an explanation on this matter. We scheduled it the other time, and the minister requested that she would like to give that explanation and not the DG. So we acceded to the request. Unfortunately, the minister couldn't join us in the previous meeting because of the reasons that we received. And we're happy that the minister is here today. We would like to welcome you, Honorable Minister, for making time to come and and engage with us despite the difficulties that you have explained to us. We appreciate that you are here today, and we are going to hand over to yourself to brief us on this item.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Thank you for this opportunity to present this matter and explanation before the Portfolio Committee today. I just want to start by indicating that the reason why I indicated that I would be in a position to explain this matter to you is because of the fact that the request was actually made to the Director General to come and present and explain this. And we felt with the DG that it is actually not her area of work, it's not her turf, because we would have understood if it was asked that she comes to present on behalf of me and the Deputy Minister to explain this political matter. Given that the DG had actually not even a role in this particular matter, I then said that I would have to come myself, or even the Deputy Minister, by the way, who is a political office bearer, after myself. Having said that, which I hope that clarifies why me and not the DG, I would like to continue to indicate that I then responded to the letter that the chair wrote, honorable members, that actually gives a full explanation of what that article was about and what it was attempting to do. I'm not sure if that letter to the honorable chair has arrived, whether the chair has seen it. The letter that actually explains.
No, the letter was received, Honorable Minister, and it was circulated to members.
On
I'm just not sure at this stage whether members still have that, because we kept on postponing the matter, and I'm not sure whether it's part of the packages today. But it was distributed to members, if they've received the letter. I also have the letter with me.
Okay. If not, I think it could be fine to have it circulated so I could send somebody to get that letter. In my understanding, that letter also serves as an explanation, Chair. And it is for that reason that I'm going to go through that explanation, because it is actually documented. As it is also sometimes required that when one can't be in a meeting, there are various ways as to how we actually account to a structure like this one, which is a portfolio committee one. Some in accounting gets done through questions, parliamentary questions, follow-ups, reports, responses like this one in writing, which has actually, in my view, arrived on the table of the Portfolio Committee, as you rightfully indicated, that this letter was actually circulated because it is a response to the matters that were raised. I'm going to go through it. Having received a request for the briefing by the Director General to come and clarify the matter on media statement issued, I do indicate in this letter that I write this letter to clarify. It's not quite actually, it should be saying a report, to clarify the circumstances surrounding the issuing of the media statement on the process around the granting of permission to a company called Other Africa Ventures to mine within the protected environment in terms of Section 48 of National Environment Protected Areas Act. May I just quite briefly explain this section? It is a section that deals with areas of concurrence that's needed from the mining or a developer, if it's Minister of DMR in this particular instance, that's the one that requires concurrence. It's not about the mining license, it's about concurrence of somebody who is a minister who has already issued mining rights to that particular company. And the section does say how the Minister of Environmental Affairs should exercise that concurrence. You may put restrictions, as we have done. And as far as we know, the restrictions are quite very stringent, and that's what we did. And I'm explaining that, which I think that we had been able to explain before. And may I also, whilst I'm here, Chair, indicate that the matters that are detailed around the granting of this permission and the granting of the permission by the Minister of DMR and by myself are actually, as we speak, before the courts. So that's the reason why we made a request 2 weeks ago or so that we would not be able to respond in detail, and you graciously agreed that these matters should stand down until this court is done, because discussing them here is like we are already in court. So I'm going to be restricting myself to the issues about the media statement. But I had just explained the Section 48, what it says. A full statement was given, made, which is actually attached. I'm not sure if that attachment was received also, Honorable Chair.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
That is titled, "The Department of Environmental Affairs Rejects Speculation that the granting of permission to mine within the Mabula Protected Environment in Mpumalanga Province could set dangerous precedent." As you will be aware, Honorable Members, on the 23rd of May, 2017, the Department provided clarification on the circumstances surrounding the awarding of a license within Mabula Protected Environment in Mpumalanga. However, for purpose of brevity, I would like to once again provide a chronology of the circumstances preceding the issuing of the above-mentioned statement that I've just read. Just as a chronological order, on the 12th of October 2016, because this matter comes as far back as that, actually, I think I was told the development proposal started in 2013. I can't remember where I was in 2013, whether I was still doing environment, or I was actually still in another department. But on the 12th of October 2016, an article by the company called Pulsa Center for Crisis Reporting titled Green Light, that's an article, Green Light for Coal Mine in South Africa Strategic Water Zone, that's it, was actually published online and widely syndicated in the local and international media. And the article is also attached. I presume that it was given to yourselves, Honorable Members. If not, we can also circulate that. And this was followed by a series of similar articles published in local and international media on this issue. And as far as I'm concerned, and the Deputy Minister and ourselves in the department, this article actually that was issued carried some misrepresentation of government's position on the awarding of the license, especially from our side as environment. A coalition of eight civil society and community organizations have since 2015 mounted legal challenges against the minister's decision, and they have published a number of media releases in this regard. And one such media release has been circulated also. It was attached as an extra three. I beg your indulgence not to go through all these annexes, but just to refer to them, as I said, for brevity and in the interest of time. And in the view of the Department of Environmental Affairs, both the news article and the media statement issued by the NGOs contained a number of factual issues which warranted correction and or clarification. While I'm here, Chair, let me also say that this is not, by the way, the only time that we as a department had to find ourselves putting out information in a form of either a media statement, opinion pieces, television interviews, and so forth, in terms of clarifying some of the facts that we don't believe actually put a picture that's correct from our point of view. It is also necessary that at times we do not leave the public sort of with information that we do know that is actually not factual or can and requires to be corrected and straightened. So it is for that reason that we, on the 23rd of February 2017, through the Chief Director of Communications, his name is Aldi Mudise, who, upon instruction by the Minister and Deputy Minister, issued a media statement titled Environmental Affairs Clarifies Matter Around the Permission Granted to Other Africa Ventures to Mine Within the Mabula Protected Environment in Mpumalanga Province. Annexure 4, it is attached. I'm mentioning this as a response to the media statement that I referred to earlier on, that was issued by the said environmental organizations, I mean NGOs. Whilst I'm here, my eye also indicates that I have here in one of the files, share which I'll share with you, a whole barrage of other media statements that we have been correcting. It's not about Mabula only, it's about almost every other thing that we deemed necessary to actually put out information in a manner that we think that is actually correct from our point of view. So what I'm communicating to you is not the first time. There are many other statements. I have them here. We can share them with you that we have actually put out there to put facts in a different manner as we believe are correct. Now, it is of paramount importance to reiterate that the media statement was published on the department's website and disseminated through the media, through our normal channels, where it was widely reported upon. This is the response that I'm talking to of the NGO's article. And this public document making the department's position clear on this matter was freely available to all honorable members to utilize, including our portfolio committee, because it's on the website, it's widely publicized. We are talking of the 23rd statement. Now, on the 11th of March, that's the 23rd of February, on the 11th of March 2017, a further clarification was issued by way of an opinion piece by the Minister of Environmental Affairs in the Business Day newspaper titled, "There is no diminishing transparency on mining authorization." Remember, by the way, out there, the public is told that we have diminishing transparency in the department. We do not believe that this is true. We therefore had to clarify that. And that opinion piece is was attached as Annexure 5 to the documents that were given. By the way, let me also, as I'm here, clarify that there is a difference between the opinion piece and the media statement. All media statements that are issued in our department and through our department are issued under the name of a gentleman called Albi Mudise, who is our Chief Director of Communications. Nobody else. Articles that are of opinion pieces in nature, they are either under the name of the minister or the name of the deputy minister. The op pieces are handled differently. They do not carry that. But all media releases that we know of, and which I think almost all of them we know of, and some come as a direct request from the minister or the deputy minister to clarify, as we did. This particular one comes, which I asked the drafting team to actually put out. By the way, Albie Modisa drafts this, not alone, also with the team from Biodiversity led by Shoni Munjezi. They all come through to the deputy minister and myself to authorize until it's released, upon us having asked them to draft this. This was the particular one also. Now, as part of the parliamentary program, the Portfolio Committee on Environmental Affairs invited the department to make a presentation on the regulatory framework underlying the process followed in the granting of the license, as well as to clarify the minister's role insofar as the said application was concerned. We did oblige to this. Unfortunately, I was out of the country on that day. Because, Chair, I must acknowledge that even on one of the days that one of the matters was called to come and explain this particular matter, I was not in the country. The department's senior officials, led by the Deputy Minister, Mebabra Thompson, and actually met with the Portfolio Committee on the 9th of May to make that presentation to oblige to the accounting on that matter, and made a presentation which was also sent, is now an extra six. In case it's not there, we'll give it as well. It was titled The Mining in Sensitive Areas, Balancing Conservation and Development. And we went through that presentation. In our understanding, the matters were actually clarified, and there was no hanging issue, I'm told, as the minister, deputy minister and the team left the portfolio committee. A member of one of the prominent environmental NGO, who we would like to believe part of the challenge that has been mounted as releasing those statements earlier on, because I did make mention of the fact that the barrage of media statements earlier around 2016, thereabout, and early in 2017 were released by the NGO, which I said earlier was responded to on the 23rd of February. That member, we would like to believe, was actually here in attendance in the meeting. Now, the committee engaged with departmental officials and the department, the deputy minister, on a number of issues following that presentation which was made in. And an account of a committee meeting was posted on the PMG website on the 9th of May, 2017. That's a parliamentary monitor group. And I also have the outcome of that meeting, the report that was released on the PMG. And it was further picked up by other media houses who ran stories also around that matter. And an article on the committee meeting was also carried on Parliament's News Services website on 9th of May, 2017. Now, on the 10th of May, 2017, a prominent article appeared in the Business Day News titled MPs Hit Out at Mabula Mining Approval. It is attached here as an extra 8. And the article was widely disseminated, including on social media. And subsequent to being briefed on the matter by the Deputy Minister, the Minister of Environmental Affairs therefore also instructed the communication unit to draft a media statement to respond to the allegations contained in the article. We have been clarifying this matter all the time because we do believe it is our obligation and duty to clarify that which is already out there in the public. It's not in the portfolio committee, in committee, or in session, that's not public. But these are matters that are picked up by the public. Left as they are likely to actually leave people believing that those are facts. And the media statement was published on the 23rd of May, 2017. It is my considered view, Chair, and honorable members, that the media release in question was a response to correct inaccuracies contained in the Business Day article, which also regretfully created a wrong impression about the robust engagement in the meeting on the 9th of May 2017, by the way, which we do not deny. There is a need to have robust discussions and robust inputs as we do our oversight that we have said throughout the years of our engagement with Portfolio Committee, that such robustness actually can make the team South Africa and the environment function only stronger. It's not the first time we say this. We said it in the time when Advocate Johnny De Lange was chair during the first term, third term, and even during this fourth term of the different portfolio committee members. So we do believe that robustness is necessary. However, robustness needs to also, from a portfolio committee side, we need to be sensitive that it does get picked up by other people elsewhere. And as it gets reported out there, we do believe that it is our obligation to also clarify facts. And that is not of robustness or denying robustness or denying the portfolio committee to do its job, but to clarify that which we believe is inaccuracies. It's out there, by the way. We can't call it back. It's everybody believes whatever they see or they hear, and they read out there. So we're clarifying that which is already out in the public space. Now, the news report implied that the Department of Environmental Affairs was on collision course with the Portfolio Committee, which was unfortunate indeed, because that has never been an intention. And it was necessary, therefore, to correct this. Because, as I said, the article was reading very harsh issues. It says, watch. MPs hit at Mabola mining approval. And the statement itself in the content did state something like, we are at collusion course with the portfolio committee. As I was explaining, Chair, and I hope that this letter serves to clarify this matter, the report that we have given, and that it not be necessary. Necessary for the DG to then come, as I am here to explain that matter here today. I want to emphasize that we remain very committed to work with the Portfolio Committee. We remain very committed to have robustness discussions in the Portfolio Committee. We remain very committed not to shy away from any oversight and our presentation and our presence here, as I've done throughout the many years of being here, as a functional department that has actually performed very well. This is our belief. I did say that we'll share with other matters related, not to this matter of Mabola, but to any other, be it hunting, which I have here, statements about hunting that we reported to, statement about the CITES that were also incorrectly reported in the news, statements about there are several of them. I have a whole full file here. But we will circulate this if they have not been circulated, Chair, just for brevity. We didn't pull out everything else that we had to respond to over time, but for brevity, those that we had to respond to. Just to say to yourself that we do indeed not sit and not clarify, and it's not about this matter alone, but about many other such matters out there. So, Chair, this is my explanation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for the explanation. Just to say that, as you also correctly indicated, that We do not want to get into the details of the decision on the granting of a license to mine there, because the matter is now before the courts. So we just want to get the explanation as you did. It's something that is worrying the committee, that an engagement that happened in the committee, which we thought was not, that engagement was not concluded because we needed to go and do the site visit, oversight there, which we did. And unfortunately, we couldn't finalize that aspect because then we were informed that the matter is now before the court. Now, there are a couple of things on the statement which worried myself a great deal, and I just want to refer to those aspects which I think they are very unfortunate. On the second paragraph of the statement, which confirms that the Portfolio Committee on Environmental Affairs was briefed on the issue, where MPs raised a number of concerns regarding why the license was awarded, given, in inverted commas, the sensitivity of the area. Now, just the next paragraph, where it says the department notes with regret sentiments expressed in the Portfolio Committee. That is something also that concerned me a lot, that whatever that is raised in a meeting must then be responded to in a meeting without going on a public and taking whatever view that was expressed in a meeting. But on the second page, sixth paragraph from the bottom, it says that it was alleged in the Portfolio Committee briefing that allowing mining in Mabula would open the door to unregulated mining activities in other protected areas, and the department may have shot ourselves in the foot. It says this view is regrettable. And then the paragraph after that says it is illogical to suggest that if mining is allowed in an area such as Mabula, where it is legally permissible under strict condition, that mining will be allowed in other areas where it is legally prohibited. Now, members, when they engage with whatever that gets presented, they are raising questions, making comments, making statements. And the delegation from the department that attends the meeting should correct the information there and then. And if there is a need for any further information to be provided, I think the department should request that, that there is a view which was expressed which we want to brief you on. Now, to say that what members were raising was illogical, the views that were raised were regrettable, and all those things, I think it's sort of attacking the members for raising their issues in the meeting. And I don't think that is right, Honorable Minister, to phrase the statement as such. I think I agree that the department has got a duty to rebut whatever misconception out there in the public space about what might be the actual decision. But to express a view on the comments which were made by members of parliament in a meeting duly constituted. I think that is out of order, according to me. So, and it's a matter that going forward is something that we must avoid doing, because members will not be free to raise their issues, because whatever they raise here may be responded to, that it is regrettable, it's illogical what members are raising, and all such kind of unnecessary language. So that is the reason why we thought this thing needs to be explained, so that we can also communicate our displeasure on how the statement, particularly this one, was crafted. of course, the department has the right, as I said, to correct whatever misperceptions that are there in the public space. But there is no right of the department to attack members of parliament for raising their issues inside, especially by an official of the department. So I thought that is the concerns that we're having, that let's protect this space and this right that members are having to raise their issues, to engage robustly. If there's anything, it must be corrected there and there by the delegation from the department, without, you know, casting aspersion on the members of the committee, or the committee itself. Okay, anything from the members? Honorable Khadebe and Honorable Mabilo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think you've basically covered what I wanted to say, but in the nutshell, Chairperson, I think this was like a slap on the face of the portfolio, because if we discuss things on the portfolio committee, we rely on the delegates that is there to give us responses, because when we ask questions, we do have follow-up questions to try to reason why you are asking those questions. But if someone takes the minutes and go and prepare a statement without having to engage the members to find out exactly why such questions were posed, it seems as if now it's a personal attack to the individuals that raised the question, actually to the entire portfolio committee. That's why it was also concerning to me to see such a statement, as if we were in loggerheads with the department, which is not the fact. Because when we ask questions, it's our responsibility as the portfolio members to seek clarity where we think things are not the way it appears to be done. So basically, Chair, I think you have covered us. And I've also listened to the minister's response to the issues that we raised. Hopefully, Chairperson, something of this nature won't happen in future, where we get a response from the official on the media statement, not in the meeting. It's well if it happened during the portfolio meeting and recorded as part of the minutes. But when it goes out there, we don't have any avenues, unless if we have to issue our own statement as a portfolio committee, which won't be a good thing to do. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Mabilo.
No, I think first and foremost, I think we must express our appreciation for the elucidation given by the minister, and also that the matter itself in terms of content is subject to the case before the court. But Chair, I must say that you have in fact covered us to a great extent, but safe to say that this matter is a negative development in as far as we are concerned. Secondly, it is unprecedented. So the tone, we must characterize it correctly, is unpalatable, Chair. First and foremost, it's totally unacceptable. It leaves much to be desired. And I think you have dealt with the aspect of aspersions on our integrity. For me, Chair, I must say that statement was really demeaning in certain aspect to us. It's disrespectful and is undermining. We don't deal with the context, the syntax, and everything, but we say the broad thrust of the statement for us as public representatives in this portfolio committee, we can't accept that lying down. So I think our tone is measured, not commensurate to the undermining. And I must say, I must also appreciate the fact that there was no public response from us, because we felt the best domain to express ourselves is here, inside, because we have seen that publicly, and some of us were geared towards responding, but out of a discipline, we did not do that. So, Chair, I think that should be the message that we carry, to say this kind of behavior will not be tolerated. It must stop. Because we are not ignorant, we are following developments, and we know what we're doing. If we are wrong, we must be corrected here. But we can't be told publicly that argument is illogical. So we will continue to play our oversight role without any apology. And especially when we feel the environment is going to be compromised, we will raise that unapologetically. So thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Makube.
Chair, I just want to raise three things. Perhaps firstly, just to acknowledge the fact that today the matter will be put to rest. It has been there for some time, and its own delay or prolonging to deal with was causing a problem. And now that after this meeting it will have been cleared, it will be out of the agenda, the better. But Chair, I wanted to raise three things. Firstly, one, that the Minister clarified the fact that she gave the instruction or approval of the statement, something which probably amongst us who might have thought it's an official taking it upon himself to do that, or herself. To that extent that the minister took responsibility and clarifying how statements in the department are issued, I think it does put some questions that were had aside. The second point is, agreeing with the fact that the department has responsibility to clarify issues out there, I think to me the issue is truly clarifying issues and an attempt or an instance where it is construed to be an apparent attack on the committee or members. Those may be two different things. So even as statements are crafted and so on, if they are meant purely to clarify what may be perceptions out there, I don't think there will be an issue in that. I think the issue becomes when there is a thinking that such statements probably are an attack on the members, either by the tone or whichever way that is done. But the last point, the minister refers to quite a series of instances or statements that were observed and had to be clarified and so on, meaning that the matter was left to be like that for a long time. And I'm just saying probably it could have been better if there are particular observations that are untoward which needed to be to be interacted upon between the committee and the department, just to talk about those issues in good time so that we don't leave some of these things hanging and adopt particular attitudes because it seemed to be a trend. Each one, wherever we are, thinking that perhaps there's a negative or some tension that exists. So I'm just saying that in future, instead of, because some of these things will still happen, we may not think that it will never happen. We're dealing with human beings. How at times you write is affected by the mood you are in at that point in time. I'm just saying that we must not leave things hanging for a long time. Let's try and resolve issues as soon as possible if we pick on some of the things that we may not like. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Comrade Whip. I think the view from the committee, Honorable Minister, is that, of course, the department will and should continue to clarify aspects which are there in the public domain. The committee doesn't wish to take that away, even if it's something that might have emerged from the meeting. The department has got the right and the duty to clarify the matters. But the committee doesn't want a situation where, in the course of that clarification, then the department then attacks the committee or the members of the committee, or cast aspersion on their integrity, like it happened in the statement. To say that a view expressed is illogical, it's an insult. It's an insult to the committee. And we do not think that that should define the interaction and the relationship between the committee and the department. And of course, future statements, when they are released, to clarify whatever, well and good, but we think that should be the last where we get to be referred to in the terms that are used in this statement. We understand that this is quite a difficult matter that the department is dealing with, a sensitive matter, a controversial one for that, and there are some other interested parties, those who took the matter to court, and of course the department might be dealing with those kind of dynamics. But we do not think that this is how to engage with the committee. So that is just our message, Honorable Minister. We appreciate the explanation that you've given us, that it is per your instruction that the media statement was issued. But we think that this language is very regrettable, to say the least. We do accept the explanation as given. I don't know whether you want to add on what the committee's view is, or you are done.
Chair, first of all, let me say I do understand exactly the sentiments expressed by the portfolio committee. I did say that it has never been an intention to offend members of the portfolio committee. On that note, I would like to profusely apologize. Having said that, Chair, I also just want to make a request that we also be sensitive on both sides. Because indeed, as statements appear like this, today you see we are discussing the response by the minister. We are not discussing the actual statement that was being responded to. If we were to do that right now, maybe we'd come to a different conclusion. Just the heading itself is a problem. And I'm talking about just how we express ourselves in the meeting, and I've already apologized. And having said, I'm making a request that we also become sensitive on both sides. I do understand also the fact that the committee would discuss and would accept very robust debates and discussions. But I think it is important that in that robustness, there's also some very serious sensitivity in even in what we say, especially given the fact that we all understand that this matter is very complex. It's going to be picked up by people outside with different interests and so forth and so forth. The statement by the honorable members of the committee, which was written, by the way, not by honorable members, it came out in the Financial Mail, does actually carry language that's problematic, to say the least. And I wouldn't want to open up this discussion here now. And I don't want to justify why, to say that this is why the response was like that. But it is important to clarify. Still, I think, pull out the language. That's correct. But the fact, like, for instance, there isn't... It is not factual to say that if an application is made here in Mabula and allowed to, in any other area, it will be allowed. Because that's not how we do our work. We do our work on a scientific basis. So that part had to be clarified. We do our work on a scientific basis. If this area is granted, the other one may be denied, the other one may be denied, another one may be granted. So it's not going along the same line or rule that every other thing is going to. And this statement says that it is a given that it will happen everywhere else. So if members of the public now start knowing that because my will is granted, every other thing is going to be granted, I think that's not factual. So that's the fact I was dealing with here. And I apologize for the word illogical to be understood that way, but I'm trying to explain what I mean by the various other instances where this kind of mining may not be accepted and probably will not be accepted, depending on... We are dealing with another case, Chair, here in Elandsfontein. Completely different handling, but it's the same matter of the same nature. So I'm explaining why that word was used, but also I'm saying I really regret that that was used. As we look at the statements, let's also look at how we use language here itself. Chair, I'm not clouding out things, and I don't want to really get to the statement having also made the point that I've made. But I want to just you to help me how I must deal with a matter that is out there in the public that's personal in nature. I was not able to attend the portfolio committee last week, given the reasons that I've given and I'm told they were accepted here. But out there in the public, members of the public were told or somehow carry an information that says, I have bunked the committee, I've run away. I did send you that statement, Chair. I have bunked the committee. This is an irresponsible member of a minister. Mulewa was due to discuss irregular and wasteful expenditure of South African Weather Services related premature termination of a contract of a former CEO. And she has no show. This is a third consecutive meeting. Parliament Portfolio Committee has caused outrage. Mulewa was due to discuss irregular and wasteful outrage in the public. And committee also lambasted the board also for falling to the pitch. So out there in the public chair, just advise me how we must deal with this matter to avoid any other thing. The public that knows the irresponsible minister who did not come to the meeting, what should we say to them? How must we handle this? If I could be helped with that.
Okay. I think we on behalf of the committee, I think the committee accepts the apology that the minister has made to us. And we really think that going forward, we shouldn't have this kind of a situation. And I think also the team members that are helping you, minister, must also, because when you issue a statement, somebody must sit down and draft. Or you drafted it yourself. Oh, okay. All right. Now we accept the apology and hope that we would not have this kind of a situation again. We didn't want to respond in public because it was going to be an ugly situation. We thought that we must put this on the agenda and get this explanation, and we do accept that. Now, coming to the what happened in the last meeting, I did see the media, the article. There was a journalist from Eyewitness News. I only got to learn later at the end of the meeting when she approached and introduced herself to me. And what was reported is not what happened. Unfortunately, we have got no control over what journalists do when they come to our meeting, because these are public meetings. What happened in the meeting is that there was an apology that we received from the minister. I express displeasure on the fact that we only received it 30 minutes before the meeting, because the official responsible in the minister's office sent us that apology 30 minutes before the meeting was supposed to start. And I said, had we received this information earlier, this apology, we could have restructured the agenda in such a way that we then deal with other matters. Because the matter on the table was a source issue, and then the minister also asked that she should be available to discuss that matter of source regarding the premature termination of the CEO. And therefore, that meant that the whole day was wasted on Tuesday last week, because as a result of the apology, we couldn't even proceed with the board of source. So we said that in future we should receive apologies quite in advance, so that we can restructure the program. So basically, that is what happened. And then it got to be reported as if the minister was banked the committee's attendance. So it was not like that. There was a concern that was raised to say, no, had we received this thing in advance, we could have changed the agenda. We could have asked the department to brief us on other matters and not this one. I must say that we were particularly not happy with the board, not the minister, with the board, and the explanation that we received from the board. And as a matter of fact, we still are insisting that we need the entire board to come, because in our program, that was explained that we require the board to be here. Now, the explanation from the chairperson of the board that other board members have got prior commitment, this does not fall within the days that the board has agreed on, and so forth and so forth. We thought that was out of order for the board to tell us that, to say you must schedule a date in such a way that it fits into our own programs. And we said it can't be like that. We can't be running after you. If you request that, you must come, prioritize our request, and do come to the committee. But of course, we still have got an outstanding one with the board in the next parliamentary term, because we're rising on Thursday or Friday. And we still want to engage with the board. We think that the board is not taking us serious. It's undermining this committee, and we don't like to be undermined. So that is what happened last week, Honorable Minister. It was not... we had wanted... we could not proceed last week, because as a result of that... of that late apology. So I think we did... Okay, just briefly, so that we can then get on the other matter.
I have asked that we become sensitive on both sides. I was hoping that when you summarize, you would refer to that matter. Because that matter still stands. What I'm referring to is the language used in there that I'm saying is regrettable. But the fact still remains that needed to be clarified. For instance, Chair, the issue that a conclusion that a strong case has been made by that mining should not be allowed in this area that's a protected area. That area is not a protected area. That's what we are clarifying in the statement. So it's that factual issue. How do we deal with such things? And I think we need a meeting to unpack these kinds of things. How do we deal with the facts barring the language? That's the first thing. The second thing is that, and it's just, I'm picking up on one line only. There are several other, three other areas, which I am requesting the committee
can
also
I,
to see.
Can I suggest, Minister?
Can I also get to the next issue? How do I deal with anticipation that my son would be shot at night, that I would not be here? Because, Chair, the response to the media person says that Minister should have anticipated and apologized before time. The portfolio committee here was informed of the situation, which I thought there was honesty in really just agreeing or sympathizing with me. And having said that, therefore, how do I... Committee Chair showed empathy, but we are not unreasonable. But normally, this type of things you'd anticipate and you'd indicate well in advance. I have not indicated well in advance because it was an emergency. The operation was decided upon on a Monday. That had to happen. And I'm sure that was communicated. But out there, I'm asking, Chair, the public of South Africa knows this minister to be banking because of this response. How do we deal with that? I asked. Thank you.
Okay. I think on the matter of Mabula, we have not, as I said, we have not developed a conclusive position. We decided we are going to go and do oversight. We have done the oversight. We have visited the area. We have received some presentations there. Others are still outstanding. So the committee will develop a conclusive view once we've received all the information. So that probably was just a statement which was made in the meeting. And of course, if there is a need to engage further on the statement, when we finalize our discussion on the oversight, of course we can engage on that. As I said, you can still clarify, the department can still clarify matters out there factually. without impugning on the integrity of the members. You can still do that. What we do not like and what we will always defend is the right of the members to raise their views in the meeting, because they do have a right to, and they are protected when they are in the committee, when they are in the house. So that is that, and I think if there's anything else, we can further engage on the facts when we finalize the matter. And I think the last week's one, I've explained, Honorable Minister, the circumstances around which that expression was made. And I think we should leave it at that. Thank you very much. Can we get to the next item? The next item is going to be a briefing by the department on quarterly. What quarter is that? Okay. Yeah. I hope the brief was clear on the quotas that are referred to, because on the agenda there is no reference to what quotas that we are dealing with. And okay. All right. Okay. Honorable Minister, I don't know, we did receive your apology earlier on, so you are free to excuse yourself at any time that you feel that you need to leave. But we are going to ask you, now that you are still here, to introduce the item. I don't know, maybe earlier we should have, I see there's a couple of new faces in the house. Maybe earlier, I don't know whether you would want to do that, Honorable Minister, just to those that I did not acknowledge who are attending for the first time, maybe just allow them to introduce themselves. But over to Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much. I would like to start by indicating that, as you said, the DG has apologized because she's at the COP of UNCCD, which I was supposed to have been to deal with just one political matter that's very, very important, which I know both of them would have needed me to be there to deal with it. Having said so, Chair, I just want to indicate that this is a presentation of by the department that is about our performance, as we have the performance management quarterly done and evaluated at both portfolio committee levels as well as at cabinet level. We do take such performance outcomes to cabinet through two normal channels. One is the treasury accounting, also related to financial spending related to these actions. And we also do take those through to DPME. And there at DPME, these particular program issues gets looked at in conjunction with the outcome that we lead, which is outcome 10. So what we are going to be presenting to you today is, as per the request, it's quarter 4. And quarter 4, therefore, means that it is the end of the financial year. So it will entail matters that have probably also touched on the entire cycle, because quarter 4 would then be saying this is how we conclude the year without saying that this is how we did on quarter one, because it's kind of a cumulative kind of a report that says we were in quarter this at point A, point B in quarter two, and on the same matter there's been improvement as at this quarter, so it will show that cumulative effect. I am going to just say that the acting DG is here, who is Isham Abubad. He's got a very difficult surname. Isham Abubada Abada. I always put the other U, BU, which is not existing. It's Isham Abada. He's a lawyer by profession, but he's acting DG while the DG is not here, and we have a COO who's present here. Today here, Chair, we have taken away other members of public, private sector, public, wherever they are working, away from their tasks who are here as the chairpersons of boards. And in the case of Sun Parks, one member who's representing the chair here. I'm sure as they do present, they will keep introducing themselves. The board chairpersons, you know. The CEOs, you know. So I'm not going to get into those details, but I think as they come, they will. The board chairpersons, all of them that you know, except the Sun Parks here, who's not here, they will keep. The one who's not well as well is represented here today. Yeah, so thank you, Chair. I just want to leave it at that. I do believe that on record I should say that I am personally with the Deputy Minister pleased with the performance of the department. It's one of those that are actually quite performing, even in terms of how we fare in at government level. As a summary, would be predicting that we are on 81% of performance of our functions. And these 81%, by the way, is 81% of the things that makes difference on the people's lives on the ground. 12% is partially achieved, and only 7 we couldn't achieve, also given the exogenous factors linked to that 7%, which will be explained as we go on. 81% is called cum laude. It's very excellent. So that's where we are. I thought I should say that as well, up front. Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to ask the COO to lead the discussion on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Are we able, I know it's quite a detailed report. We still have got, I think, 4 more. I don't know what's... can you do it in 30 minutes? Okay. Honourable Minister.
Could I suggest something, Chair, that we deal with the embers and the reds?
Okay.
Maybe only on women. Honourable members may want to ask questions about some of the greens.
Yeah.
Because it's a waste of time, really, to deal with something and present it when it can be seen that it's done.
Okay.
That will go faster.
I think that's fine with the members. We'll accept the proposal, Minister. 30 minutes, do you think you can do justice? All right, sure. Over to COO.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Minister and Honourable Members, colleagues from the entities and the department. I'm just going to recap on maybe the summary that Minister has already given overall that says the department had a total of 135 targets, 81% of which were met and exceeded. And I just want to explain briefly, Minister, that 12%, just so that we understand that even with that 12%, we say it's partially achieved because 80% to 99% of it was complete. So it's almost done as well. So it's only 9 areas where we are saying there were major delays. So I'll go through them per program. In program one, the first area that was EMBA is an area that we've spoken to members in all meetings around target of women in SMS, where we've indicated that now with the challenges we have around not even having vacancies, we've managed our vacancies very well. It's almost impractical at this point to meet the 50% target because we don't have the vacancies to fill with men unless we then ask the likes of Mr. Abada to leave the department so that we can fill those vacancies with females. The other...
He's going, he's old.
Male species is threatened in the department. I see even in Sanbi, you're supposed to up the target for male in senior management. I see you have appointed the Honorable Dr. Rampedi. So male species continue to be threatened in the department and the entities. From up, so we must protest at some point.
You still say you want 50% from us, irrespective.
But you have exceeded 50. I think you are sitting at...
We are
okay.
43. We are 43%.
Oh, okay. All right, proceed.
Okay. I've always thought 100% is not that bad, even if it's 100% female. But if it's male, it's a problem.
Okay. Thank you. Chair, quickly on the issue around security risk assessments. Chair, this is a risk that we will, and we've accepted, will live with in the Green Building because we do get assessments by SETS. And the issues that they are raising would require structural changes in the departmental building. So we've found a way to deal with the risk, but will consistently reflect these. So the two areas that we're saying are not implemented, there is a change in terms of repositioning of metal detectors that we have in the building. They are also concerned around private security rooms in the building. So those are risks that we're living with. It probably will not change, but will continuously reflect it as such. On the master systems plans in terms of our information technology, we still have one project that is not finalized, and members would be aware of that in terms of the central integrated permitting system, which we have commissioned CETA to assist us with. We still have challenges with CETA. I think currently as a department, we're now exploring other means of still getting the system without CETA. I think there were challenges in terms of that as there are mandatory services that we expected to get from CETA, but we are now recognizing that we probably will not get joy in that regard. In terms of improving the profile and getting information out there, we have not fully met our target on media statements and speeches that we're issuing. We were supposed to have 140, we only have 131. There was a reduction on the speeches that we issued or the statements that we issued. The statements were linked in the main to the events that we had, and due to budgetary constraints, we consolidated some of the events, and therefore we could not then continue issuing the statements for those. And Chair, the last area, and members, the last area that was not fully met, where we had 16 interventions planned, but we only implemented 15 of those, is around local government support strategy. The area that was not fully implemented by the end of the financial year was around training of local councillors. This was a problem when we started in the third quarter as well, and we struggled with the dates. I think our biggest problem is now getting the dates from the councillors to conduct the trainings, but the training that was then planned, we then were able to catch up and do it in April. That is all the areas in Program 1. In Program 2, there is one area that was off target, and that area was around the dangerous goods standards that we were supposed to gazette for implementation in the financial year. We did gazette for comments on the 5th of August, but on the nature of the comments received, it was then established that we need to reconsider the standards since there was no consensus on their publication for implementation. So this then had to go back, hence it was then delayed for the year. The other two areas in the program are EMBA. The first one is on the minimum environmental requirements for preparation of the special development frameworks. This project started late. I think there were issues around funding, and we still needed to agree on funding mechanisms on this one with the cuts that came with SANBI, so there was a delay, but we should be able to finalize this work in this financial year. The other area on the SIPs, the work was on SIP 10 being gazetted. The work was done. The only thing is that the gazetting only happened in April, so it did happen. It's just that it happened a few weeks after the end of the financial year. That is all on Program 2. If I can move to Program 3 quickly on the areas. In Program 3, there is nothing that is off target. There are only two areas that were slightly delayed, in that the work in these both these areas on the inventory of available data and information in terms of ocean and coast research was finalized in the first week of April. So it was delayed by 1 week, together with the deployment of the moorings that we had planned to do. We needed to get approval from Treasury, which was then delayed to do a sole provider there, but it was only delayed by a week. So as I indicated, these are areas where the targets were met just outside the reporting period. So it was done in the first week of April. Moving on to climate change. In climate change, there was only one area that was delayed in the last quarter, as you can see there as well. The target had been to finalize the report and publish the report. The report was finalized, but it had not been published by the end of the financial year. So that is the area that EMBA on biodiversity, program 5. There is a slight delay on the biodiversity management plans for one ecosystem. That plan was compiled by the city of Tshwane. On a review of it, we found out there were areas of inconsistencies with the norms and standards, and Tshwane has then been engaged to then correct, and that should be finalized. The next area is on the management effectiveness tracking tool for the protected areas. We indicated members in the second quarter of the financial year that the tool was reviewed. It had 33 indicators with an addition of indicators to get to 70. We then ended up with some of the protected areas not fully meeting the standards there, and we do have improvement plans now to look at that. On the stewardship side, just for members to note that the stewardship side is, requires consensus from private landowners, and we worked extensively on new versions, however, I think at the last quarter we then could not reach consensus, but we're still engaging with them further to finalize that. On the benefit sharing agreements, which we plan to have 5, approved. We have done draft agreements for 12 of them, which we then consulted on. Upon request for approval of those, there are transformation aspects that needed to be reviewed, and therefore these have been sent back to ensure that we then meet transformation commitments. On Program 6, in terms of Program 6, there are 3 areas that are off target, and the areas that are off target are in terms of the accredited training days for APWP employees, and in terms of the youth benefiting from the youth environmental services. The youth environmental services was in the main affected by budget constraints, and I think we highlighted this through the quarters in the last financial year, and then the rollout was then moved to this financial year, so we couldn't meet that. In terms of the training, the challenges have been in the appointment of accredited training implementers, which was then under review in that financial year. The other area that we did not meet, and is also an area that we highlighted during engagements in the previous quarters, was on the sector monitoring and evaluation studies, where we indicated then that we had appointed a service provider But in the third quarter, when we were busy on the contractual arrangements, it became clear that they could not deliver, and then we had to then appoint the Human Science Research Council. But this means the work was already delayed at that time. The last program, which is chemicals and waste management, the first area there, which still requires further consultation, has been on the waste import and export regulations, and also on the HFC management regulations being published for comment. I think on the HFC management, we needed a final decision in October on what is the way forward in that, and the decision has been that we halt the development of regulations until further notice. On the import and export of waste, we then needed to consult further with the Department of Trade and Industry, and that work is still underway. The other two areas where there is red, where targets are not met, members, we've also discussed this, it's around recycling, specifically of waste tires, and also the jobs that were created, and this is linked to the challenges that we've had with REDISA, which we've indicated that that's an area that we're looking at. However, the corrective measure there is the minister or the executive authority is still looking at a call for other plans so that we can then continue with the work in that regard. That is the summary of the fourth quarter performance. Thank you.
Thank you, COO. I was meant to take over when the chair was not here, but in the process he stepped in, so I must allow him to just do his... okay. Just to conclude this part, perhaps, let me receive from members the questions that we have got from the first program, administration. May I get indications of whether members want to take a bite? Honorable Hadeva and Edwards. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Acting Chairperson. I don't know whether we... Are we allowed to ask the financial performance as well, or just to seek the department's performance only, not financial? I don't know, Chair.
Okay. In that sense, unless if members want the financials immediately after the program now, so that we combine the questions, if that will make sense.
Is it clear as much?
Apparently there is a financial.
Yes.
Maybe we must allow them to also present that as well.
Okay.
If it has not been presented, I don't know whether...
It has not been presented yet.
Yeah, maybe let's allow them to present and then we discuss the entire thing. Okay. Sorry to take... To hijack your space, Comrade Whippy. Okay.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members and Minister. If I can just get the presentation on the screen, please. Next slide. Okay. There you can see our expenditure for the 16-17 financial year. As Minister indicated that she's... She's happy with our performance. The expenditure as well is at 99% that we spent the financial year, with a small variance that you can see on program 6 of 38 million that we didn't spend, and on chemicals 3.4 million, and then for program 4 and 1. The 38 on program 6 was due to an error at the last day of the financial year when the expenditure was captured, payments for our projects was captured but they added 3 days. They didn't correct it, captured it correctly, so it landed in the next financial year expenditure. So we actually did spend it, but it landed in the wrong financial year. So that's why we've got a 38 million there indicated as a variance. If you look at the next slide, our economical classification, our compensation of employees, as you know, we have a ceiling on our compensation of employees. We spend 99.9% of our compensation. Goods and services, 99.6%. There was only a 4 million that was left for projects that wasn't, or expenditure that wasn't spent in that year. Then we get to the transfers and subsidies, payments to our public entities and the departmental agencies. We spend 100% as we transferred 100% to them. The foreign governments, our 16 million that we pay normally for our JEF contribution, we spend 100%, non-profit institutions, our green fund, and then the expanded public works, as I explained, there was a 38 million that was allocated in the wrong financial year. And our unitary payment on our new building, we spent 136 million in the year on that payment. And yeah, so it adds to 99.3% that we spent on our previous year's budget. Next slide. If we detail our current expenditure, that's under the goods and services, the main part is for consultants, contractors and agencies and outsourced services of 468 million rand. We added an annexure to the documents where you can see a main part is going for our to Smit & Mandla, that's now AMSOL, that we pay for the manning and for our vessels, the two vessels, research vessel and the polar research vessel. Then travel and subsistence, we spent 173 million throughout the year for traveling. You will also see there's also a lecture on travel that's mainly giving you the foreign expenditure detail. And then venues and facilities, we spent 60 million. Other operating expenditure, you will see in next slide, but that entails operating leases that we have our printers and other facilities or equipment, 81 million. And I don't think I'm going too much in detail on all the items, otherwise it will take too long. Okay, next page, you can just see that we, throughout the year, the red, we were sometimes a bit below our projected, but we, at the end, made our budget that we projected. Next slide. Here is the consultants and contractors. You can see on internal auditors, if you divide it a bit further, it's 4.6 million. Our research and environmental and all other kind of projects, 166 million. The agency's fees for our manning and operating from the vessels is 187 million. And the other big one that we have there under contractors and consultants is 90 million for the small eradication alien vegetation contractors. Next slide. Next slide, please. And also on the previous slide, you could see our professional bodies that we pay membership fees, and that's normally international fees that we pay was 14 million rand. Next slide. Our capital assets, the main capital assets that we spend on was computer equipment and computer hardware and systems, also transport equipment where we replace some of our vehicles and have to purchase new vehicles, and laboratory equipment, the 15 million is for laboratory equipment that we bought for laboratories to take onto the vessels. Next slide. Our allocation to our public entities, this will now link with when the public entities actually present their financials, what we contributed to Sandbox, Sandby, Weather Service and Isimangaliso, and we transferred all the funds that was allocated to them for the operational and the infrastructure grant. Next slide. Our other agencies, the DBSA for the Green Fund, we transferred the whole 180 million. And then the smaller ones, I've already mentioned the JEF funding, and yeah, the bigger ones, bigger one is the DBSA payment, but we transferred all of them. The Environmental Public Project Works Project, EPWP, they will see under Working for Water is the 38 million that we allocated in the wrong financial year, and we spent everything on the other on the areas for the Working for Water and Working on Fire and Environmental Projects. And the incentives were all earned as per the Public Works agreement. Our 30 days payment report, we were between 11 and 7 days per month. If you look at over the months that we are doing our payments, so we're well within the 30 days payment area. If you look at our foreign aid assistance, we received foreign aid. We on the Australian fund, I'm only going to highlight the bigger ones. The Australian, we have the funding agreement in relation to the South African land sector measurement. That's coming to an end. We spent out of the 4.6 million, 3.7. The Botswana is a longer term agreement, and we spent 376,000 out of that. The Germany Climate Change Support Program, we spent 3 million out of the 4 million. The Germany Promethium Carbon Program is finalized. We spent all the funds. Norway is a new program for the National Greenhouse Gas Inventory, and we also spent quite a lot of that in the previous financial year in two big payments to the CSIR. And the UNEP, our Rhino program that's going on now for 3 years, we spent 11 million out of the 13 million that we received. And then the other big one is the South African enabling activities from UNEP. We spent 8.6 out of 8.9, and the IUA 6th session of the meeting of parties, we hosted it in the previous year, so we spent all the funds there. And the first one on top that I missed is a brand new one that we didn't spend on the last financial year. And then you can just see the next pages relates to the different public entities, and it will link to what they will also present on their financials in their when they present the fourth quarter financials. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any comments, questions, remarks, Honorable Khadewe, Honorable Edwards? We take both presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I've been covered on the issue of the 38 million, which was allocated on the wrong year. I think that one will fall out. That leaves me with three questions. The first one, the legal fees of 2.6 million that was paid to the state attorney, do they bill as if they do work for the department? That's my clarity that I would like to seek. On the financial year, there is 2.6 that was paid to the state attorney, to the Department of Justice. I want to know whether do we pay or they bill us on the work that they perform, then we have to pay them. That's what I would like to get clarity on. And then there is also 500,000 that was spent on the INDC work, research on the climate change issues. Can we have a report in the portfolio to see what the issues were picked out by that report that was done? by INDC. Then there's this
Honorable Khadem, if you can raise your voice, they don't hear you.
Okay, can I repeat all the questions or just the last one?
The last one.
Okay. There was 500,000 that was paid to INDC. They were supposed to do a research on climate change issues on Program 4. Can we see the report as the portfolio members to see what issues they picked up doing their research? The last one, UNEP funding, that was intended for INDC for the portfolio 2015, 1.6, it was in Spain. Where is the money? What's happening to that money? Because according to the presentation, it was not Spain. Zero. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Edwards. And I know that we are receiving this at the point where the annual reports have been completed. And we'll still... Yes. They've been completed. We've got all the annual reports for the entities, so we will still be briefed on the annual reports. So just to take that into account. Honorable Edwards.
Thank you, through you, Chair. On Program 2, it says that there were three interventions, which is concerning that not one of the three were targets were met. On the first one, Dangerous Goods Standards Gazetted for Implementation, I just want to understand, I tried to look on the first quarter for this one and I couldn't find an answer. So it says that it was the Standards Gazetted for Public Participation and Comments was the 5th of August 2016, so it's a year later. And the corrective measures, it said that the department will consider it because there was no consensus. So I just want to know, where are we on that? It's a year later, are we done considering? And then on the budget, 100% of the budget was spent, but only 73% was achieved, which is a little bit concerning as well. Sorry.
Oh, the increase.
Hello. Okay. No, I just said 100% of the budget was spent, but only 73% of the targets were achieved. Then on Program 7, waste import and export regulations. What concerns me is the corrective measures. It says that the regulations have been revised, blah, 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 and a letter has been drafted. So how is that correcting the red? How is that fixing the not achieving your target? What is your corrective measures and how will this be fixed? Yeah, I think frankly postponing it by one whole financial year, the next one, the HFC, sorry, postponing it by one whole financial year, does this show how serious the department is by or takes waste management or even publishing regulations?
Okay, the last point,
yes.
Looks like the department did not pick up that one.
Okay.
Can you repeat the question?
The next one is yellow, the HFC management regulations. So it says that it's postponing it until this financial year. So, okay, let me rephrase it. Why was it postponed by one whole financial year? And does this show how serious the department takes the publishing of regulations or waste management as a whole? Then the next red one, it says the percentage of waste tires, the target was 60%, and it's red because only 19.2% were reached. This is absolutely shocking because it's not even a third of the target. REDISA failed, we all know that, But I want to know, how did the department monitor this, and why did it get this bad? Where did the department go wrong that they can't even reach a third of the target? Because, yes, it was REDISA, but it's the department's plan. Then the next one, it says number of jobs created, target was 2,000, reached only 408, which means it's not even a quarter of the target reached. It's very convenient to blame REDISA, but I don't think that's good enough. I think the department's, it's the department's plan, and the department gave the plan to REDISA, so the department should have been more hands-on. I think monitoring it might have caused you a little bit less of an embarrassment. The department's failure, quite frankly, or REDISA's failure, quite frankly, I think is the department's failure. So my question there is, what happens in the meantime? How many jobs are going to be lost, or is this going to be put into the next year's target? And also, how far is the case with REDISA? Where are we standing? When you go look at the financials here, it's quite shocking that 60% of the targets were met, 14 not, but the budget was spent 97%, which is also, if you go look at it, the worst in the department. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, Honourable Paddy.
Thank you, Chair. I'm largely covered by my colleagues here. What I've got left is just a few short ones. I just, on Program 1 Administration, 3 environmental awareness campaigns, that were the targets. It just seems a low target for me. The stewardship, if they can give us a bit more detail, if someone can give us more detail on the stewardship site established. Yes, it is with a private landowner, but maybe we can just be told where. On the financial side, on page 3, the consultants, contractors, and agency outsource services, and we were told Annexure A. Well, I cannot see anything on Annexure A. So maybe we as a committee can get a more a bigger print or whatever, because it's in small print, and that is a huge amount of money. We were told research vessel. I'd like to see more detail with that to get more clarity as a committee on that one, on the detail of the current expenditure. I think the 30 days payment report, I think that is to be commended. I think that's good, between 7 and 11 days. So we must give credit there. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Are we done? Okay. I'm a bit concerned on the REDISA. On the REDISA issue. And I think that we probably need a briefing on its own. I hear Honorable Edwards is asking that we must also be briefed on the court case, but I'm thinking that there has been a lot of development around the issue of recycling of waste tires, particularly REDISA. And I would like us to schedule that on our program when we come back, and then get a proper briefing. Because I think there is a lot that we could be briefed upon on that. We've just been picking issues in the media space, and there is a worry in relation to the success that the program has registered in terms of taking away tires from the waste dumps to be recycled. So whether there is any threat that those successes might be reversed. So I think it's a matter that we may need to be briefed on. when we come back. Of course, we are raising the concerns because we don't have all the details around where the matter is currently and what actions has the department taken. Related to that is the process of putting together the that entity. What do you call that entity? The Waste Bureau. How far we? I noticed that there is a draft legislation that has been presented to Parliament that we still need to take it through. So those matters, I think we need a detailed report on them. But of course, if there are some where the department can respond on this, you can. But just bear in mind that we will require a detailed review on that. Okay. Do we have some responses? Acting DG is ready to shoot. Minister?
Could I ask that we start with HFC issue first? Because people who are presenting it or responding would be sitting right at the back. And then we can come to the front row.
Okay.
Mark? Or Obed?
Thank you, Mark. Minister. Thank you, Honourable Chair. It's Mark Gordon, the DDG for Chemicals and Waste Management. Good day to everybody. Thanks for the question. In terms of the hydrofluorocarbon regulations, and I think the Honourable Member indicated the issue around the stringency and indeed whether South Africa was serious about waste issues. And if you look at the content, Honourable Member, I mean, we are so serious about this matter that, in fact, our regulation was more stringent than the world regulations on HFCs, to the point where when the Montreal Protocol was amended in Kigali last year, we had to almost revise our regulations because it was too stringent for the world. That's how serious we are about these matters. So, Honourable Chair, we had to come back and revise it in the context of the benchmark internationally, and at the same time there's a matter of funding, and it is more than what we're doing in terms of our existing work on the phase out of chemicals that harm the environment. So this year we're expecting some funding from the multilateral fund of the Montreal Protocol that would help us further implement its regulations, and we're on track to deliver that this year. And Chair, I think you've summarized the matters relating to Rhodesia that we will come back to report on that in a special session. Those non-performances obviously have a bearing on that.
Okay.
There's the import and export, if I can reply to that as well, Chair.
Maybe, Honourable Minister, just direct who's supposed to respond to what, so that after Mark is done and then the officials can, she will deal with all of them, okay? And the finance can also respond to the financial ones. Are you done?
No, Chair, just on the import-export regulations, I don't know if there was a question there. But basically the delay there is in terms of the request from provinces, that there's been a proliferation of requests for importation of waste in the country, as well as this porous borders and leakage in terms of exportation of waste. And that is why they requested that we have more consultation with the provinces, specifically around the enforcement and compliance measures that provinces need to execute, and what needs to be put in place in terms of provisions and regulations to beef up that capacity. The second area relates to the consultation with DTI and the DTI entities that have control over imports and exports and the consultation that needs to take place there. And Chair, I must report that we've had those consultations. We just come out of the waste pakisa that we've held over the last month and a half, and there's been serious engagements with departments like DTI in terms of firming up on the standards and controls for imports and exports of waste. some legislation that DTI manages on waste-related matters, like the Second-Hand Goods Act and other acts controlling scrap metal and stuff like that. And obviously, these have to be factored in when we're writing our import and export regulations. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to just deal quickly with the questions that were specifically on program 1 and 2. On the questions that were specifically on program 1 and 2, I think there is a question around the dangerous goods and standards. And the question is why we waited a whole year and only did it in August 2016. Honourable Members, the plan was for 2016-17, so doing it in 2016 of August is in the same financial year, so we didn't wait a year later for that. And I just want to explain also the budget issue that you were linking to that, in that the work, the consultations, which means the budget that you had for consultation and that would have been spent, but at the end of the process, as I clarified, we did not reach consensus, which happened after this in the third quarter. Hence, we are saying then we need to then go back and redo that. So the expenditure would have been, we would have spent the money in the consultation process, in the process. So that's the response to Minister, the question that was raised on Program 2. The stewardship is 5. Should I go to all of it?
Okay.
The other question, Minister, on the stewardship side, which sought clarity on where Nivera is, it's in the Western Cape, so it's indicated in the report which stewardship site was then planned for the financial year. In terms of the INDC, Minister, can I ask Judy to respond to that one?
Thanks, Honourable Members, Chair, Honourable Minister. Yes, the research that was done is publicly available, and we can make it available to the committee. Thank you.
Okay. Who else?
Chair, on the issue of the legal fees, usually what happens is the our counsel is appointed through the Department of Justice. So the usual procedure is that justice gets billed, and then they then bill the department whose matter it is. So that's how the legal costs generally work.
Chair, could I ask that we don't give a one-size-fits-all answer, not usual. What happened in this instance?
In this particular instance, that's exactly what happened, Minister. Justice got billed by council. The Department of Justice then billed our department. And that's the extent of the legal cost.
How much was it?
$2.8 million.
Okay. Other responses? Yeah, finance.
Chair, I just want to...
We're not done yet. I think there's a public works program, 408,000 jobs.
Who's taking that one?
Rustin is not here. Okay, they're here. Okay. I think they're still talking to the issues. Let me, in the meantime, while they're thinking... Or presenting Chair, if I may. There's another question just to prepare UNEP money expenditure, which we didn't deal with. The 1.6 million rand of training that is remaining behind. What happened to the money? It was asked. So we need to deal with that. There were programs of low target. We didn't deal with that one. Why is it the low target? I have an answer, but I would like them to give us. And then there was an issue about the annexures that are not visible, which we are not seeing.
And then there are money issues, Chair. I think if we have dealt with those issues, would then be dealt with. Could I, whilst they are preparing those four questions, responses, Chair, just say that we will definitely come back to the reporting on Redisa matter. I do want to say, Chair, that as we would be bringing that report here, we hope that it will be after the second or third week of September. Will it be September? That the case of between ourselves as a department and Redisa would have been, well, there's a litany of cases, but the major one that we expect a judgment on is expected sometimes by the end of September, which is this month. If it is done, then we'll give every detail. But I just wanted to say that you would need to pardon us, that we would probably have to talk about how far we've gone, where we are to date. Not necessarily touch on some other issues that may have impact on the court case that's ongoing right now. It is we can also talk to issues about whether the program has been performing or not. That's one dispute in court right now. It's part of the work, but we just hope that by that time the case would be over. Then we can give every detail. Because the dispute that's in court also is to say that
when is it coming to court? Or when is, are we expecting the final?
The arguments have been concluded and everything. We're just waiting for the judgment.
Which is going to be second week of?
We don't know yet.
But no date has been set.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So as soon as the judgment is delivered, we can then schedule that. All right. Okay. COO? Just conclude everything, all the questions that you are going to be talking to. I want us to rush. Still have got more four more.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of awareness campaigns, if I may just clarify, what we do is we choose a topic that we need to be dealing with, and a campaign is a combination of different events. It doesn't mean there were only three events or three. It means around we chose three topical issues for the year, and we did a number of engagements on those topics, either sensitization or just assistance on managing the challenges that we have. So I'm not sure, we didn't think that was, because we needed to have more focused engagement as opposed to trying to engage on everything and not being able to really see the impact that we are making. So that is the response on the environmental campaigns that we have. Minister Veronica would want to come in on the financial issues.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, I just want to clarify on the Nature I. If you look on the screen, that's the Nature A that we submitted, but I see in the packs only the front page was printed out. So there's per program, each program's got a sheet with all the different expenditure per program. So I don't know if the different sheets was not printed out. I see only the summary is in the packs. And that won't help you. So we'll avail again the detailed report, so there you can see all the expenditure per program and what projects it was spent on. And if you look at the 73% target of the of our that it doesn't match with 100% spent on budget. Remember, some of we can also apply environment. So when we look at our annual report later on, you will see we have, or not today, on another occasion, that we have applied environment. So then it looked like we've spent 100% of the budget, but there was in fact
environment applied, so we moved funds to another program of 8%.
And okay, the legal cost was, the other one is the INDC expenditure.
We are just finalizing the expenditure. As you have heard, the progress, the report is already, but we still have to make some payments on the program.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay. Quick follow-ups. Honorable Khadebe, you want to make a follow-up?
Thank you, Chair. On this issue of 2.8 million on legal fees, can we have a breakdown of all the cases where we needed the services of the legal state attorney, just to give get a...
It's in our program.
No, it's not there. It's only mentioned that 8.8 legal fees, state attorney. We need a breakdown of cases.
Yes, I'm saying on our own, on the committee's program, there's a briefing on litigation and expenses. Yeah, we removed it from, was it today?
Yes.
Yeah, because the program is, so that briefing will come. I think we are done. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister.
Yeah, I have been released, I know.
Yeah.
It's about 12. But the next lot of people who are coming, could I just get to that point quickly? We have a set introduction. Dr. Rampedi is our new CEO of Sanbi. The CEO is quite old, like this one. So she has had to be released to go and rest a bit. She has served two terms too, in terms of the law. So she has just joined us, Dr. Rampedi. She's with the chair of a board. And then we have Sanparks. It's the Fundisi Lemkiyetheni is today with Jenny. Where is she? Oh, yes, the COO. And the chair of the human... Yes, Jenny. She's sending in for the chair of the board. And then we have from Source, Jerry, the CEO who you have met. Not so brand new from the box, but he's there. And then we have he's an old guard of some sort. And then we have with the acting CFO, no person from the board. Today, the chair was supposed to be here. She's taken ill. From East Mangaliso, we have an acting chair, so the chairperson of the board, Ezwani, and we have Anis Karodia, Dr. Anis Karodia, who is replacing interimly the substantive CEO. Who has left us? He's going to full time complete his, like me, studies and his degree. So he's left as amicably. So we have Dr. Anis Karodia. The adverts will be coming in. The chair will replace, and the board will do the necessary advertisements like we did in the source. Thanks. Thank you, Chair. I think those are the four that I had to just. Before
okay.
I leave, if you
land. All right, thank you, Minister. who's next to present? Can we? The next one is Sanparks. We'll create some space for that. you are released, Honorable Minister. Sanparks, Fundi, are you ready, and the board member?
We're ready, Honourable Chairperson.
Before you leave, Honourable Minister, I was complaining to the chair of the board of Smangaliso that we read on the paper that the CEO has left, and the board doesn't just brief us to say, hey, through a note, the CEO has left, these are the reasons, and so forth. So I was protesting when we met, when we were leaving the airport yesterday. So I'm still a bit, I know there's no obligation to do that, but I thought that that will be done as a way of courtesy. Honourable Minister.
Thank you, Chair. I think we still need to talk about how we do reporting of matters of that nature. As you say, there's no obligation. We wouldn't take advantage of the fact that there's no obligation. But there must be a structured way which we must agree upon as to how we periodically report matters of this nature. So I think we need to just somewhere structure how we do that kind of a reporting. In our understanding, that's why we would have to be here today, to report on the interim chair and interim CEO. There is going to be a need to find a CEO, the proper substantive CEO. And I think the report would have to come. I still don't know how, Chair, to do that, whether we should send reports written or what, if and when there are changes. Because that's a very operational matter, as you rightfully say. Sometimes it's going to happen in the midst of things. Sometimes it gets advertised. For instance, we have now advertised the board of Sunby, at what stage do we inform you at the time? And Sunparks as well. Sunparks, yeah. At what stage do we inform you, the portfolio committee? I think we need to deal with how we structure those kinds of reports that are quite operational in nature.
Okay. No, it's fine. I think just a note, you know, information note to the committee will do, especially the critical ones like the CEOs, when they leave, you know, just a note to say we have received a resignation or there is an amicable parting of ways, you know, especially those who come here and account. The CEO of the entities. Just as a courtesy, Honourable Minister, just to give us a note to the chairperson will distribute to the members, something like that. I think that will be my recommendation. As I said, there is no obligation, but just to keep us informed, I think that will do. Okay, thank you very much. All right, St. Parks, I don't know whether you're going to do it from there or you want to come closer. Oh, you are ready? Okay.
good day. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, on behalf of the Board of Sandparks, we wish to extend our gratitude to this Portfolio Committee for the opportunity for Sandparks to present our fourth quarter performance report of 2016 and 17, and the first quarter report of 2017-18 financial year, as we work towards attaining our vision of a sustainable national parks connecting society. Chairperson, I know I did mention it earlier, but I just want to formally a formal apology from our chairperson, and that it is formally noted. Thank you. In respect of our fourth quarter performance report for the year 2016-17, our key highlights include the following. Sandparks is progressing well with 94% achievement of the target set out in 2016-17 in our APP. The organization is stable and financially sustainable. And as you know, we generate a lot of our own income, in this instance 82% of our own revenue. Experience record growth of visitors in our national parks. Last year we had over 6.7 million visitors. And we've also seen a growth in our local black visitors with a growth of 7.7%. We continue to implement our conservation mandate as stipulated in the legislation, and our work around radical social economic transformation continues to progress well, and the board has placed this matter on a very, very high priority. In the 2017-18 financial year, Sandparks continues to implement its 2015-2020 strategy approved by the Minister in March 2016, and our 2017 and 18 APP is an evolution of the work that was done in 2016 and 17, on the year 2016-17. Our first quarter performance started well with 79% achievement of all our quarterly targets. However, Honourable Chairperson, we continue to experience challenges in respect to achievement of our employment equity targets, particularly significantly increasing the representation of women in management. We understand the urgency of this matter, and we are and will continue to implement programs to achieve this target. Honourable Chairperson, with your permission, I'd like to hand over to our CEO now, Mr. Fundisile Mkhatini, to take the committee through the detailed presentation. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. As we allow the CEO to present, just to say that, you know, normally apologies, we prefer them to be in writing. If we can just send that message as well. Because we also issue our invitations in writing. CEO, thanks that you were able to reschedule the other engagements that you communicated to me about and to come here. Thanks for that. So,
thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, good day. I'm also accompanied here by Busisiwe. Busisiwe is Senior Corporate Manager Finance. Our acting CFO is unable to fly. He's so scared of skies. If we come to Cape Town, he drives 2 days, and then he must go back 2 days to drive back. Therefore, I brought along Busisiwe. But the chair...
So the acting CFO can't fly?
Can't fly at all. He's right. So scared.
Is it?
His name is Mr. Dirk Fourie. He was once here, but Chair, he will come for the annual report if we have not yet the board appointed the CFO.
Okay.
Yes. And also the COO, Ms. Liza McCourt. Chair, as indicated earlier, I will only focus on the yellows and the reds. I also want to indicate we had prepared two presentations, the fourth quarter of 2016-17 and also the first quarter of 2017-18. I saw the department only presented the first quarter. We'll do likewise, Chair.
We were a bit ambitious to ask for the fourth and the first. Okay. So I think let's focus on the fourth quarter, and then the other one we will schedule it properly. Okay. Probably we'll take two, the first and the second court.
Okay.
When we come back.
Chair, I will take the committee to slide 22, strategic objective 7, which is yellow. It is yellow, members, because the Department of Education now is refusing to release children during the school days. Therefore, we are trying to encourage schools and also in our Kids in Parks program to do it during holidays. Hence, there's a drop there in terms of the target. It is yellow, but we'll continue working with the schools to make sure that they do visit our parks under that program. I would like to move to slide 24 and 25, which has been always a challenge for us around the ease of human resources targets. As you can see, in terms of employees from designated groups, we targeted in the fourth quarter 60%. We only achieved 56.7. In our EE plans, we will continue to make sure that recruitment is done strategically, and then we do a proper process back there. We'll look at the EE plans, and then all managers will be held accountable in terms of reaching their targets. Under women chairperson and honorable members, you were ambitious on this one. I must say, Parliament instructed us to put 50%. We started looking at 34%, but we are progressing well to have women in management. We are currently at 37.2%, but at a lower level where you get your staff working in tourism services, we are represented with women. But the challenge we have is in from D band, C band up. That's where we're having a challenge. We have good news on disabilities because it has been read for a while, but I need to highlight this one, Chairperson, because it has been a challenge in the last 2 years, but we managed to achieve the target. Also, the female-male ratio is still a challenge. We have 60-40 split. Again, this is one area we are going to emphasize in terms of equity targets by every division. We had put a target also of looking at employees meeting minimum educational requirements. In this area, the last financial year, we were only looking at CVs that we have and give those employees an opportunity to get the correct qualifications. But what we are doing in the new APP, we are doing proper verification, because what we did last year was only to look at those CVs submitted to us. We had a challenge in the area of percentage of the payroll spent on skills development program. We will accelerate this area as there were delays, and but those officials working in this area were held accountable. We are fast-tracking this area in terms of our IDPs. I want to move on to slide 30 and 32. We have a challenge in terms of our HR expenditure because it has been kept by the board. We are continuing to make sure that it's not beyond the 56 mark. However, in the new financial year, we are monitoring closely. You will see when we come to present the first quarter, we are progressing well to keep the HR cost under control. I want to move on to slide 32, which is the one on fundraising. There we are trying to look at an integrated approach because we have not yet benchmarked the money we say is real fundraising. Yes, there are small projects. What we have also seen, the private sector are doing fundraising well. Therefore, we are engaging the Peace Parks Foundation and the Honorary Rangers, the volunteers who are in the business sector, who are fundraising a lot for us. Therefore, in the fundraising strategy, we will work with them. We only achieved 17 million in the last financial year instead of the 50 that we targeted for. As the chair of human capital indicated, we have achieved 94%. We just developed another slide here just to say what is the state of the organization at a high level. We want to say our operations are stable, particularly in the parks division. Yes, Kruger, we still have challenges there. We were fortunate that we didn't have negative media coverage last year. Of course, last week we saw something that is starting to happen in the Kruger Park, but in the last year reporting, we didn't have negative media coverage. We are financially stable. Of course, we are financially depressed, we want to say that, but our books are looking good. We still need more money in order to make sure that our operations are intact. The staff morale is improving. We see a lot of, we have less complaints from the staff, even for the labor. We have a good relationship with organized labor. Even in the last negotiations of salaries, we managed to agree on a percentage increase. Although Hospesa gave us hard time, but they accepted the offer because we had to keep it a minimum percentage. We have good relationship with our shareholder, the department. We comply with the requirements, and also we do have open communication. We do have challenges and risks. Our tourism infrastructure is ailing. We are busy now developing a long-term plan in terms of our infrastructure, but we continue to maintain those that we can afford to do so. But we are highlighting as a broader challenge that the infrastructure is ailing. Our IT infrastructure, we want to revamp it starting this year so that we can be able to have a faster line for our bookings, because our IT system, tourism system, that's an engine to collect our revenue. HR expenditure still remains a challenge, but again, we're controlling this one. We do have a lot of planes that we're managing. We need to develop an air wing strategy. We don't have an air wing strategy, hence we're candid about it. But in that air wing strategy, we need to decide, when do we replace these planes, or do we outsource them or not own planes at all? Therefore, it will be in that strategy. We also lack what I will call impact tracking data for Sandparks. We still want to understand how the organization is contributing to the DIA program, to the government program, because in our strategy, we always align ourselves. I will move to the slide 38, our full year financial performance. As you can see, honorable members, in terms of our target, the revenue from the exchange transactions, we had targeted 1.6 billion. We managed to achieve 1.8. The other non-exchange account, which is the transfers from government, you can see what demonstrating those figures there. Therefore, we come up with a total revenue of 2.4 billion instead of the 2.2 that we targeted for. Busi will come in and explain further. There's a slide where we are demonstrating what is the surplus for the year for Sanparks, the net surplus. What is the surplus excluding special projects? Because we do have money transferred to us for land purchases. We do ring fence the money for game sales. But the figures were not good because I think the industry is constrained. Even the prices of buffaloes and even rhinos are down. I think people are seeing a risk in owning the high-value species, and also we excluded that infrastructure. Quickly, Chair, on the update on rhino conservation, we see a slight decline in killings, but there's an increase in terms of elephants being poached. And also poaching activities are intensifying. As you can see that in 2016, we had more about 2,800 insurgents in the park, especially in Kuka Park. We are still fortunate in other five rhino parks where there are no killings as yet, but there are attempts by the poachers on those parks. In terms of arrests, you can see the number has increased to 281. Therefore, it's correlating with the activities by the poachers. We continue implementing we do have also the use of firearms being utilized in the parks. You can see the number has increased from 125 to 148 in 2016. Continuing with wildlife crime, we will continue working with the partners and also extending our investigative capacity, working with the security cluster. We work well with the Mozambicans. I think they have come on board in the case of Kruger. We will continue to invest in technology, our ground mobility, and also our air mobility. We want to also keep talking about the scares on social media, and then we want to continue mobilizing the resources. I will leave it there for now, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a financial one? Portion? Pare? You have done everything. Yeah, she can't fly all the way to Parliament and not say anything. We're listening.
Good day, everybody. Okay, I'm just going to speak and summarize with regards to the statements of financial performance that was achieved in the fourth quarter. The surplus, like our CE mentioned earlier on, is inclusive of special projects, which may take more than 1 year to actually complete. So it appears as if our surplus for the year is actually quite high when in effect it's not really, because the money that's sitting there is actually committed. There's also land. We receive grants from DIA to purchase land, which takes a while to register into Sanparks' name. So we can only realize or recognize the grant income that is actually now converted into Sanparks' name, the land of which was purchased, and the deed is actually in Sanparks' name. And then there's also the infrastructure grant that we receive in a lump sum that takes more than a year to actually complete. So all that money that's sitting there is actually committed funds. It's not really a surplus per se to say that Sanparks is making a lot of money. So if we take all those factors into account and we remove them, we are only left with an adjusted surplus amount of 39.4 million rand, which we can say is the profit that Sanparks has achieved in the fourth quarter. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Comments, questions? Honorable Mabilo. I must say the increase in the levels of poaching of the elephants is worrisome. Very worrisome. You know, when the trend started against the rhino, for the rhino horn, it almost like started like this, numbers going up. Because when the criminals finish the rhino horn, they will go for the elephant. The elephant will be finished. And I don't know what we're doing to deal with this specific matter, whether there are any plans that we're putting in place to combat this type of crime. Honorable Mabilo?
No, thanks, Chair. I'll be brief. I think being consistent, it is always fair from my part as a member of the committee to always give credit where it is due. I think, Chair, since 2014 when we came here and now around Sun Parks, there's a vast improvement. The turnaround is really encouraging. Chair, just our first comment, slide 22, on the yellow there. I think the Education Department is correct. I mean, in terms of the culture of learning and teaching, it is correct to discourage activities of learners during schooling hours, given the high rate of failure rate. We are not concentrating on the matrix, grade 12, as others. We concentrate across the grades, because it's not only matriculants who are coming, it's across the grades. So that's a step in the right direction. I think there is a need for an innovative manner in ensuring that there's access for the kids during holidays. We've got 4 holidays per annum. So I commend Minister Angie Motshekga for that, because we are parents. Our children are in school. We don't want them to be disrupted. So there's the first comment that I wanted to make. Now, this matter of page 12, slide 24, the red in the women management, is a recurring theme. Consistently, we have raised it. Every time Sun Parks come this time around, we raise it. And I must say that I'm not much happy that there's a slow movement. I'm not saying there must be a higher attrition rate of females to die in the males to die in the management. I'm a male myself, but I think there must be. We have always recommended that there must be an innovative intervention. So we hope and trust that next time when you come, this matter would have been attended to, because I remember I've been in this portfolio committee since 2014, and I've consistently raised it. It's now 3 years in succession. I've already commended you for your stability, for your 94% expenditure. Now, page 13, delay of the skills development program. What we don't get is a timeline. If there's a delay, I know the CEO have attempted to explain, but we must be given a timeline, because for me it's a management issue, it's a planning issue. If we have planned properly, that matter would be attended to. And there's such a huge skills development deficit that is needed to be addressed broadly in the country. So if that is delayed by any entity, is an affront on us. So that matter must also be attended to. It will go the same with page 15, the red over the expenditure of HR budget. Yes, we know this is an entity that must be human resource driven. It can't be mechanical. But there must be proper planning, because over expenditure and under expenditure equally are not good, Chair. So that matter must also be attended to. Okay, lastly, Chair, is the page 16 where the CEO is saying they are financially depressed. And tried to explain, but he attributes that to a number of issues. But this issue of the fundraising strategy not fully developed is a standing item. It's not the first time that it's coming to us. It's more than 3 years this matter has been there. So for me, that's a deficiency. It must be attended to. And the last thing Acting CEO wrote, my colleague there, you say the surplus, because when you talk surplus, we know this, what it entails. But you are saying it's already converted. So it is misplaced if we say it's a surplus. It's not a surplus. So therefore, why do you classify that as that CEO? Because then we will say, how then do you say you have a surplus but it's converted? Can't you classify it differently? What is it? So that we are not misled, but must inform, or I must interpret the whole question. And then the chair has raised a question that I wanted to raise around the increase in the elephant. I will not raise it. And then the revenue collection. What is your target? I've missed that aspect. What is your budgeted target? If you don't meet it, we understand that these are the things, but it can't be just to say we did not meet it because what was the original target? Thanks very much, Chair, for the opportunity.
Honorable Peden, and then Honorable Makube.
Thank you, Chair. I'm afraid I have a different opinion on the education program, the Department of Education disallowing learners to leave school premises, because this is my view. I don't think the teachers will be committed to take children to the parks in holiday time, and I don't think that the children will reach the parks. I don't see that working. So I have a concern there. I think a lot of children will miss out if it's done in holiday times. I cannot see that succeeding. The other thing is the fundraising. Fundraising is a zero there. And the challenge is an implementation of a fundraising strategy. I think there is an opportunity to raise funds outside of this country, certainly, because of the huge emotion around rhino and elephant poaching, and I just wondered if someone has applied their minds to that. There's a target of 50 million, which is not a lot of money. But someone can give a little bit more detail about fundraising. Thanks.
Thank you. Whip.
Thanks, Chair. Just firstly on the slide about women and the challenge, without having to repeat what my colleague has indicated, it shouldn't be taken that Parliament instructed, and therefore I think Parliament did what it's supposed to do, and SANParks is supposed to comply. So even if it's difficult, it shouldn't be that it's us against you. We would have wanted a lower target, and Parliament wanted a higher target, and therefore perhaps Parliament is somewhat mistaken in that. Let's agree that we would want to see a 50-50, and we are striving towards that, and you're doing whatever it takes, frankly, to reach the target. I think just a mere comment. The other, on slide 74, the wildlife crime combating activities, which are not elaborated, perhaps going forward they will be talked to. I take it is just activities that you would wish to deal with, but they are not in any way indicated what are those approaches. For instance, the first one, it's wildlife crime approach, and the others that are there. Perhaps in future we'll want to get to that. But my real question is on the matter you talked to about ailing infrastructure, whether you have quantified that or had a projection to say this is what it will take. And the lamentation always is that there's no sufficient funds to deal with most of the ambitious projects that we have got. Now, what does it mean when you have got this infrastructure that has decayed or ailing and you need to revamp and do all of sorts of things? Do you have such funding? Or you're raising it by way of saying to Parliament that where possible you need funding? I didn't get what you were saying. I just got a concern that you're raising, or something that you know needs to be done. But whether it's within your capacity to do it, I didn't get you arriving at that point. Or you wanted us to deduce from what you were saying that there's need for funding. Chair, I'm just saying I got a bit... because there's a point that there's no money, and always entities will complain about lack of money, and there is this challenge, and what you wanted us to do. You can only want us to do something when you yourself have arrived at a point where you are saying this is how big is the challenge and cost it, so that we know what we're talking about, whether there's anything to can be done or not. But let me leave it at that. If I've not understood you well, you can just take us through that once more. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. And condolences to you for he lost your uncle. Question on game. Say, what is the actual money collected from the game sale? And what does PAC do with monies collected from game sales? And my other question, Chair, those arrested for rhino poaching, is it possible to give us a breakdown of the country they are from? Thanks.
Thank you. Responses?
Thank you, honorable members. I'm not sure if this is what was that. Okay. Thank you very much. I will share the responses with my colleagues. On your point, Chairperson, about elephant poaching, I think the poachers are using the same tactics. Whether they look for rhino or they look for an elephant. But what has been happening, they used to poach a lot in the north of Mozambique. Now they have come down. Our concentration for now was more on an area we call the IPZ, which is center, south of Kruger, where there are so many rhinos. Now they are poaching in the Bafura area as they come from Mozambique. Therefore, now we need to take rangers to try and cover that area. That's the challenge we have for now, because if we displace rangers from the south, they will also attack us on the rhino side. But we are trying to develop strategies to make sure that now there is some concentration, especially special rangers who are mobile. We are deploying some in the north of Kruger. Yes, Chase, an issue that is haunting us as we speak. Honorable Mabilo, perhaps on the issue of education, we need to try perhaps align with the department. Perhaps our programs can take care of the portion of the actual syllabus instead of us telling them about things that might be irrelevant. Therefore, that alignment need to happen in our programs. I'm also answering Honourable question there. The CEO will talk to women, and then HR. Fundraising, we need to up our game there. I think all the time as a team, we've been get a lot of advice from different quarters. Fundraise online, do this, get strategic partners. We are getting there now. I think by the time we come back here, we'll have more integrated strategy, because it's true that there are people who would like to fund the mandate of Sandbags. Revenue targets are suggested by the trends. If you look in the presentation, we will say revenue from tourism, we want to grow it by 11%. We normally take the last 5-year trends, and then we continue to do that. But the issue of also the economic downturn, we do consider those things. Like we accelerated in the last 2 years, because in 1 year, we have 2 Easter weekends. They boosted a lot of our revenue. Therefore, we use those trends to determine how much percentage we want to increase our revenue. We'll see, we'll talk to the issue of surplus. In the list of crime combatants, we were just highlighting to Parliament our approach. For example, your bullet one to say wildlife crime approach is about arresting people in the field. But you need proactiveness in terms of working with the communities outside the park. You need alliances, whether it's private sector or other government departments. You need to work with the cross-border operations in Mozambique. We just highlighted them. This is part of the integrated Rhino strategy that was approved by cabinet, because we are implementing those elements that are in that strategy. On the issue of the state of the organization, I was just highlighting to Parliament what we see in the bigger scheme of things. The issue of ailing infrastructure, we have already compiled a document that we have presented to the Risk and Audit Committee of the Board, whereby I think we look at more than 8 billion. 8 billion, what we've collected so far. Fortunately, there's money coming from DEA to assist us with some of the maintenance, but we still need to develop a model whether we outsource all new infrastructure, especially for tourism. We are busy developing that integrated infrastructure development approach, especially when you want to build facilities. The game sales, Honorable Kekana, the amount there is 42. Is 42 million for the last financial year that we have collected. The money is ring-fenced to expand the conservation estate and also to do some of the operations. We don't put on other things. It goes back to expand the conservation estate, because we treat those as assets that we must invest that money back to expanding. I would like to talk to some of the areas that I left.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I don't seem to have a microphone, so I'm leaning over here. I want to firstly talk about the over-expenditure on HR. I'm going to start there. The reason why we have spent more than the budget was because we've implemented the Labour Relations Act instruction of equal pay for equal work for those earning less than 230,000 a year. So that was about 21 million that correction exercise cost us, and it is by that amount that we have overspent. So it is directly related to equal work for equal pay in the lower grades. In terms of the females, Chair, this is a very difficult thing, because the target when it was moved to 50%, which is the national target in national government generally, at that point in time, we were at 34% at that stage as of women in leadership positions. We never had a vacancy rate above 6% until now. So we basically, even if you fill every single vacancy in the management layers of the organization, we will not be at 50%. So what we have adopted is a progressive strategy to, in our pipelining, in our succession planning, etc., is to build the pipeline in order to reach this target. In, if we consider all of the retirement ages, etc., of the people in that area, we will be able to reach it to 5 to 7 years from now, where we would only be able to get to that, unless we retrench people because they're male, which is not really something that you can do. So we have to work with the vacancies that we have, and we have to very aggressively pursue that. And that is what our EE plan is saying. However, we frequently come across the situation, Chair, where we advertise a position and not a single female applied for the position or meet the qualification criteria that you need for that position. So those, there we even start further back with your issue around skills. Then we are targeting bursaries, etc., and internal development around females and give them preferential treatment, black females specifically. So we are, we have a very aggressive plan, but there is a reality of vacancies and there's a reality of supply that we have to keep in mind in this regard. And the CE could attest that every time a male is appointed in one of these positions, they need to get the CE's approval for it. The delegations doesn't apply. The CE has to approve that you may appoint a male, a wife, or a non-designated
employee. Are you done with all the questions?
Just the issue about the skills development thing, there was a question about the time frame. See, Chair, the issue last year was a very specific issue around not applying for the skills development fund from the CETA or the allowance from the CETA that was then not achieved, and then the process started later. In this current financial year, we've moved all, for example, the bursaries, etc., forward, and we're well on track with implementing the skills development plan, and we have also received the external funding in that regard.
Okay. Khadef, you want to follow up briefly?
I'll be very brief, Chairperson. Chairperson, my main concern, it seems to be this entire debacle of fighting rhino poaching is disintegrated. There seems to be no concrete way of ensuring that this issue of rhino poaching escapes. I see there is NGOs who are doing their own thing, collecting funds, whether in a form, collecting resources, whether in a form of human resource or financial resource. The department is also channeling human resource as well as financial resource. The private sector is also contributing financial resource as well as human resource, but there seems to be lack of integration. I would like to know what is the department view of that and the strategy to ensure that all these resources are channeled to one, are channeled into one project where the effect, whether it's, whether the contributions, financial or human, are put into effective rhino curbing efforts that will lead in the reduction of rhino poaching incident in the country. Because what else? The private sector, NGOs, the government, it seems to be doing their own strategies. That's why we don't see a reduction in the killings of the rhinos in the country. So I would like to know what is their strategy to try and ensure that all those efforts are channeled in one place so that we can yield the results that we want to see as a country. Thank you, Chair.
CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wish the acting DG could answer that one of integration. Yes, there's an element of silos. But what we requested to do was to assist some provinces that are getting the brand, like KZN, Eastern Cape, even Free State. Therefore, we've deployed one of our colleagues to work with provinces. Hence, I was saying Isham can talk to that one, because we deployed that person to assist the department in that integration.
Chair, I think in our previous presentation, we did highlight those issues in terms of the rollout to the other provinces, and specifically the use of individuals from Sandparks, because they've got the experience in terms of the intensive protection zone and that kind of thing. And I think it was at our last presentation to the committee where we highlighted the rollout of that.
Okay, thank you very much. I think the issue of poaching, it's a matter that we continuously raise here in the committee. And you might have observed that even during the debate on the, when was it, a month or two back, 2 months back, this matter, couple of members of the committee raised the issue of rhino poaching, that something drastic needs to be done. We have been advocating for strong legislation around that matter, some kind of reform. And we will promise that at a particular point, the department will come and then will engage on this issue of making sure that we make, develop some kind of strong deterrent against the poachers. So that matter is still outstanding. But of course, I think we might require some briefing so that we get to know the kind of coordination efforts that are there. I think, was it 2-3 weeks back or so, we did receive a presentation from the police on some of the initiatives that have been taken there to deal with the scourge of rhino poaching. So we might have to schedule it to have this, to talk to the integration that Hadebe was talking to. But I think generally the presentation is fine. We'll still come and get an annual report presentation. But as Honorable Mabilo was saying, there's some improvements, and it's something that we also want to acknowledge as well. So thank you very much for the presentation. Maybe we should, I don't know whether it's something to eat is ready. Is it ready? Okay. So I guess